You're listening to Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Lakshdatta. This episode is a live session from day 5 of Jaipur Lit Fest 2023, and it's called Energize Your Mind. Gaur Gopal Das in conversation with Punita Roy.
Gaurji, you're a best-selling author, a life coach, and I think one of the most famous monks in the world today, right? But who is the real Gaur Gopal Das? How do you see yourself? Who are you?
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Here it goes. A very good afternoon to you, ladies and gentlemen. You don't sound very happy seeing me. A very good afternoon to you, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, let's make some noise, guys. It's a great privilege, pleasure, and honor to be here, first of all. And I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to Jaipur Literature Festival for having me over. And my sincerest gratitude to every single one of you who have taken your valuable time on a Monday afternoon to listen to a bald monk like me. Give yourselves a loud round of applause, guys. And what a pleasure and honor to be here in conversation with Punita ji. Thank you so much.
There's
a Gaur Gopal Das whom the world knows. And the question she's asking is, who is the Gaur Gopal Das that you are?
Yes, the real...
The real Gaur Gopal Das.
Stand up, please.
Somebody asked me once in an event, they said, Das ji, aap to muskurate rehte hamesha. Ye keval camera pe hota hai ki camera ke piche bhi hota hai?
Well, I can say camera ke piche bhi hota hai, the little time I've spent with you.
So who is the real Gaur Gopal Das ji? Right. For me, I've always identified with one thing in my life. And that one thing that I've identified with is being a servant.
A servant, a das.
Right. That's what my name says, Gaur Gopal Das. To serve. To serve, to try and help, to add value, to try and see if I can make a tiny little difference in the lives of people. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is, how do we touch a life? Achievements, accolades, popularity, fame, numbers will all be forgotten.
Right.
What will be remembered at the end of the day is how we deeply touched a heart. Now, Sanskrit is an amazing language. Because in Sanskrit, strong words can seem very soft.
Okay.
Like if you want to call someone a donkey, in Sanskrit you would say Vaishakanandan.
Not gadha.
मतलब आप किसी को बोलिएगा हे वैशाख नंदन उसको लगेगा कि आप उस पर कविता की रचना कर रहे हैं. Now please don't try it on anybody who's present here. They've heard it, but you could definitely try it on somebody when you go out. Try it this evening. They're going to feel flattered when you say hey वैशाख नंदन. Now, if you were to use a term in Sanskrit for a cigarette, what would you say? You would say, Shweta Patra Mandita Dhumra Shalaka. If you were to say an ice cream, what would you say? How would you call an ice cream? You would say, Dugdha Sharkara Yukta Hima Ghanagola Gattu. If you were to order a mango ice cream, you would say, Amra Dugdha Sharkara Yukta Hima Ghanagola Gattu Anayaha. The ice cream would melt by the time you would order it. That's a huge term to use, ice cream.
But I often... reaching to the Sanskrit version of who you are.
Yes, I'm telling you about it. You know, when you're talking about an ice cream... The philosophy behind the ice cream is enjoy your life before it melts. Right? And life will melt away, guys. Life will melt away, isn't it? Har ghadi badal rahi hai roop zindagi. Chhaav hai kahin, kahin hai dhoop zindagi. Har pal yahan, ji bhar jiyo. जो है समा
कल हो ना हो
Enjoy your life before it melts, isn't it? But then you have another contrasting the ice cream, you have a candle. And the philosophy behind the candle is give light to others before it melts. An ice cream melts and a candle melts. An ice cream is about enjoy your life and candle is about enlighten others' lives. Now, I can't be a candle completely selfless.
Right.
And nor should I be an ice cream completely selfish.
Okay.
I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be selfless. I want to be selfishly selfless where I care for myself in a way that I can serve others. So the Gaur Gopal Das Ji in real is an ice cream who likes to care for himself so that one day he can try and be a candle to serve and bring light to others.
Wow.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I would say actually you are already a candle.
Oh, I'm trying my best, ma'am.
Honestly, thank you. But I have been actually trying, it's an answer to something I've been looking for. So you've been an electrical engineer, you've been in the corporate world with Hewlett-Packard. What made you embrace monkhood? I mean, what was that trigger? What was the catalyst? Because even if you were on your own path, there have been gurus, spiritual leaders who have been householders. But you decided to embrace celibacy and monkhood. Is it too personal or can you share the journey with us?
A question that I get asked everywhere I go, not personal at all, man.
Yeah, okay.
A question I get everywhere. Kya hua? Nokri nahi mili ki chokri nahi mili?
Something like that, yes.
Something like that? People think you turned to monkhood because dal nahi gali. You were frustrated, you were disappointed, you had no nothing in life left, so you embraced monkhood. Here's what I say usually. How many of you work a job? Brilliant. How many of you are students? Oh, wow. How many of you are looking forward to a brilliant, promising career in the future? Oh, brilliant. How many of you are absolutely 200% aware that there's going to be immense pressures when you start working a job? Brilliant. Brilliant. You can imagine. There was a poultry farm, ma'am.
Huh.
And the poultry farm owner came to the poultry farm and said to all the hen, Main tumko roj dana dalta hoon itna. Tum din ka do-do hi anda dalti ho. Matlab koi proportion hai? Agle Monday se 10-10 ande chahiye. Welcome to the corporate world. That's
right.
Called performance
Absolutely.
Pressure.
Absolutely.
That's called performance pressure. Yes, you want hikes, yes, you want higher ratings, anda dalu. So this next Monday, all the hen were laying 10 eggs.
Okay.
Because they met together. One hen said to the other hen, I've sent my check recently to Yale, loans to pay. The other hen said, I just purchased an apartment in Malabar Hill in Mumbai. Mortgages and loans.
Right.
No choice, 10 andas because we need the grains. Except for one, poor fellow was laying only one egg. So the poultry farm owner yelled and shouted and said, look at your colleagues. They're laying 10 eggs and you're laying only one. Ye bola, khuda ka shukar karo. Main ek dal raha warna murga hoon main.
Oh.
I'll tell you what. Under performance pressure, roosters have to lay eggs.
Okay.
And roosters have to lay egg as in they have to do what they are not cut for.
Right.
I travel the world and counsel corporate professionals.
Hmm.
And the one thing I hear all the time is, we are being paid very well, but we don't feel fulfilled in what we do.
Right.
Is a job just meant to pay or is a job also meant to fulfill? You're going to spend the majority of your time at work. In the morning, a couple of hours at home. In the evening, a couple of hours at home. And the rest of the day at work. If the majority of your time is going to be going at work, should you just be doing that's giving you something that's going to pay you well? Or also something that's going to fulfill you?
Absolutely.
So when I was working a job at Hewlett-Packard, the one question I asked myself is, do I see myself doing this for the rest of my life?
Right.
I'm great at it, absolutely phenomenal at it. I'm like absolutely smashing it. But do I see myself doing this for the rest of my life? And the answer was a loud, clear no.
Right.
I cannot, because this doesn't fulfill me. So the question was, what fulfills me? I didn't want to work with machines and systems. I preferred working with people.
Right.
So obviously the choices were study psychiatry, study psychology,
yes,
study behavioral economics,
right.
organizational behavior, all to do with people.
Yeah.
And then I also found I had a spiritual calling. So I decided, could I find answers to the human condition in spirituality?
Right.
Which is when that twist came to my life that I said, okay, let me explore answers to life in spirituality, where I combine my passion and my calling together. I did take an uncalculated risk.
Yeah, it's like jumping off the deep end.
Jumping off the fence.
Yeah.
Took an uncalculated risk, and youngsters who are listening to me here, please do not take uncalculated risks, because you have real life family needs out there.
Yeah.
I was insane. I did it. But sometimes when you're mad, आपमें से कितने लोगों को प्यार हुआ है कभी?
सबको हुआ है.
सबको हुआ है. कितने लोगों का हार्ट ब्रेक हुआ है? थोड़ा हाथ उठा.
सबका हुआ है.
क्या बात है? क्या बात है? Oh my God. इश्क सच्चा वही जिसको मिलती नहीं मंजिले.
And you follow Bollywood. Wow.
So, when you are absolutely, insanely, madly in love with something, you don't look at the risks. Do you?
This is like Mirabai talking, huh? In a way.
You don't look at the risks.
Yes.
That's why love is blind. Marriage is the eye opener. Suddenly, all the risks that you took, you didn't see anything. You didn't see compatibility. You didn't see natures. You didn't see anything. You jumped into it. Andhaishk. And then suddenly reality dawns when you start sharing personal space with each other.
And bathrooms.
And bathrooms. And you start seeing the littlest things in each other. Ye thode jaldi mein ho gaya lagta hai. So when I looked at my path, it was mad love.
To the divine.
To that path.
To the path.
To the path. And because it was mad love, I took that uncalculated risk. Thankfully, when I landed up there, my risk worked in my favor.
Right, okay.
The eye-opener was fantastic. If it wasn't, I still wouldn't have regretted.
Because how old were you then?
21.
Wow, okay.
Because I was still true to my calling then.
Right.
Hai na? इसीलिए मैं कई बार कहता हूँ दोस्तों, मंजिल मिलेगी भटक कर ही सही. मंजिल मिलेगी भटक कर ही सही. गुमराह तो वो है जो घर से निकले ही नहीं. और इसीलिए घर से निकलिए, अपने शेल से निकलिए, लेकिन साथ ही साथ थोड़ा कैलकुलेटेड रिस्क लेके निकलिए, क्योंकि लव ब्लाइंड होता है, मैरिज आई ओपनर होता है. आई ओपनर के बाद रिग्रेट नहीं हुए, इसीलिए थोड़ा सा कैलकुलेटेड रिस्क लीजिए.
But at 21, there must have been a little adjustment issues in the ashram.
Oh, because yeah,
there were.
Yeah. Ashram.
Any one little thing you want to share with us?
Punita ji is on top of my case today. opening up all my secrets from the Pandora's box. बोले गुरुजी क्या हुआ था पहले तब आए.
You have a choice to say no.
Oh, I'm just joking, ma'am. I'm just loving this conversation. She's such an amazing personality. Loud round of applause for her, guys. Such a person to talk to, isn't it? I'm just loving this.
Please.
So, when I came here to the ashram, क्या होता है ना, जैसे मैंने पहले बोला, प्यार होता है तो सब चल जाता है, और जब सच्चाइयाँ दिखने लगती है तब पता लगता है, अरे ये तो पहले भी सोचा था. सो आई जस्ट जम्प्ड इन, आई केम टू द आश्रम. वी हैव टू वेक अप अराउंड 3:30 इन द मॉर्निंग.
वाओ.
एंड दैट वाजंट अ बिग डील, बिकॉज आई वाज यूज्ड टू वेकिंग अप अर्ली इन द मॉर्निंग.
व्हेन डिड यू स्लीप?
व्हेन डू आई स्लीप? ओ, व्हेन डिड आई स्लीप देन?
या.
ओ या, अराउंड 10, 10:15. Not too bad.
So about 5 hours.
So about 5 hours, sometimes 11, half 11, based on the day. But approximately like 10, 10:15. So sleeping when getting up was not an issue. It was like cakewalk, was a part of life. The first thing came was sharing physical space.
With a stranger.
With 80 strangers, madam. Shaadi hoti hai to ek hota hai. Ek. Idhar 80 log. And we didn't have any space. We just had one hall, like a dorm. And this dormitory had 80 guys lying next to each other. And we had two zones.
Okay.
Two zones in this hall. One was called the fanatic zone.
Okay.
And the other was called the non-fanatic zone. I was a die-hard fanatic.
Okay.
Because all those who needed fans were called fanatics. And all those who didn't need fans were called non-fanatics. And Mumbai, you know how humid Mumbai is?
Yes.
So I was a die-hard fanatic. So sleeping under this fan next to 60 other guys at my side. Some used to ride Harley Davidsons in the night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like insane noise by their snoring. That wasn't easy. But this was still okay. But the worst was, I was a pampered boy. I never had anything in my life to eat unless it was according to my dictates. If I told my mom and she didn't cook what I wanted, I never eat it in my life till when I was 21. Never. Not once. Not once in my 21 years did I eat anything that was made by them but wasn't of my choice. Pampered to the core. And here I come to the ashram. Community kitchen mein banaya hua 100 logon ka khana. No choice. No choice. And we didn't have much then. So the kitchen in charge would bring all kinds of vegetables that were leftovers. Har roj do sabji banti thi dopahar mein. Aloo aur bhopla. Exotic vegetables. Exotic vegetables. Aloo aur bhopla. Gosh, I must tell you. Tabhi kabhi kabhi yaad aata tha. Yaad aa gaya mujhko guzra zamana. Khushboo bheeni bheeni zaika shahana. Indana ghee. This was an advert for Indana ghee when I was growing up. And I was remembering, oh man, I just landed up here. But I'll tell you, in that journey, and this is something that I also want to share with all of you, what I learned in those years. Those were the formative years of my monkhood. And I learned one thing very crucial. And I believe strongly that it will help you immensely in your lives and whatever journey you've taken up for yourselves. All the distractions we see on our path are only because our eyes are not fixed on our purpose and our goal.
Right.
So if anything that I feel is inconvenient, it's because my eyes are wavering away from what I've come here for. If I'm here for a purpose and my mission, my eyes, my concentration, my focus is completely on what I'm meant to get, then I'm going to be able to handle those inconveniences. Aray, inconveniences kiski life mein nahi hoti hai, dosto? Is there any time in our life that we won't have inconveniences? There will always be some problems. There will always be some inconvenience. Always. How many of you have problems in your life?
Everyone. Yeah.
How many of you want a solution for problems in your life? Take up your smartphones, guys. Go to your wallpaper settings. Change your home screen and your lock screen wallpaper to the picture of your spouse if you're married. And to the picture of your boyfriend or girlfriend if you're not married. If you're in a relationship, and whenever you have a big challenge, like my food, my sharing space, just pick up your phone and look at it like this. And say to yourself, if I can handle this, I can handle any damn thing in my life.
Well done, thank you.
Just joking, guys, just joking. So the point is, challenges, problems, distractions will go to the side when attention is on what we are meant to achieve. Challenges, distractions will seem very prominent when our eyes are off our goal. That's what I kept aligning myself with. And inconveniences just melted away, withered away, and everything became such a part of life, such a joyous life today, even the bhopla and the aloo.
No, thank you. So we were at the point where you said that for your own spiritual growth, you embraced monkhood. And you started your journey then, a difficult one, which you Well, with gratitude and humility, you embrace that too. And so a lot of the audience here, they love you because what they've said is that you bring things across in such a simple, practical way. You really make spirituality, if you want to call it, accessible, right? And I want to come to this book now. So energize your mind. We are, I would say, living in an age of anxiety, right? And with the pandemic, it's really got accelerated. A guru, I would have thought, would actually say, now, you have in your exercises spoken about meditation also, but there are a lot of other small practical nuggets. And coming to emotional well-being, what you speak about, emotional agility, right? The importance of, I mean, I remember the three things you said, feel, deal, and heal. Would you like to share a little bit about this, about why it's important to become aware and express our emotions and how to use them in a constructive way for our growth then?
Thank you very much again for that question. Years ago, one of my mentors, he told me about what Albert Einstein once said. He said, the sign of a genius is not in making simple things complicated. It's in making complicated things simple.
Simple, yes. Right.
And far from genius, but learning to follow the genius like Albert Einstein. I mean, to put things in a complicated jargon, you have to hold yourself back when you can say it.
Right.
But to put things in a very simple manner where it's relatable, contemporary, doable, is something that I felt is so, so crucial because it touches a chord, strikes a chord in your soul, goes there and inspires you to take some action. So that's probably why I just try and make it as simple as I can. But how does one really get to that emotional agility, emotional well-being? It's such a big thing, isn't it? John Milton said, the mind by itself is a place. It can turn heaven into hell and hell into heaven.
Yeah.
How many of you have had this experience that you were in the best surrounding, but somebody really trashed you by insulting you and the best surrounding was a cause of pain? Thank you. And how many of you have this experience that you were in the worst possible surrounding, but with the best people whom you love and the experience was like fantabulous? And what was doing it? The place?
No.
The mind. And which is why more important than our ability is the stability of our mind. We focus so much on our abilities that we forget that we need to bring our stability to our mind. And here's what I often say, ladies and gentlemen. How much is this phone? How heavy is this phone? 100, 150, 200 grams?
Grams.
Right? If I hold this phone on my palm for like 5 minutes, I could probably do it, right?
Mm.
If I hold it on my palm like this for the rest of the session, it's going to start hurting my wrist.
Yeah.
If I hold this palm like this, exactly like this for the rest of the day, my hand probably starts getting a little wobbly, a little shaky. My wrist starts getting numb. Imagine if I hold this phone for the rest of the week, my wrist will probably start paralyzing. Is it the weight of the phone or how long am I holding it?
How long you're holding it.
How long am I holding it, right? Now imagine if I could just, and I don't have a choice. Imagine if I don't have a choice but to hold this phone. That's life, guys. We wouldn't have a choice but to hold a lot in here. Do we have a choice when we live out there in the real world? We wouldn't have a choice. I don't have a choice. This phone is thrust on my palm. Imposed at times. Forced at times. Imagine if every now and then I could just take this phone off a little bit. Wouldn't my wrist feel a little better? And then I can pull it up back again and hold it and carry it. Imagine if there was another hand that came from bottom while I was holding and it supports my palm. Wouldn't my palm feel a little better?
Yeah.
That's exactly what Energize Your Mind is about. Our anxieties, our pressures, our deadlines. How many of you had to meet up with a deadline? Thank you. What a word, isn't it? Deadline. By the time you cross it, you know what happens to us. We are dead. Has anybody ever called it a lifeline? सर लाइफलाइन है 6 महीने का, कोई बोलता है सर 6 महीने में डेडलाइन आ रहा है. एनी ऑफ यू बीन विक्टिम्स ऑफ वर्कप्लेस पॉलिटिक्स गाइस? सम पीपल आर सेइंग सर हाथ कैसे उठाएंगे जो पॉलिटिक्स करता है बगल में बैठा है. You know what I mean? So much we have to go through and carry it in our heads.
Yeah.
How many of you have mortgages, guys? Thank you. Any EMIs to pay? Financial liabilities? Thank you. Children to take care of? Thank you. Children to get married? Thank you. Ill patients at home? Thank you. Challenged children at home? Okay. We live in the bloody real world.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to happen. The phone. And imagine what it's doing to our emotional self internally. Where is emotional well-being with this constant triggers and stimuli? We live in a world where every moment there is a stimulus. Every moment there is a trigger. Every moment there is a cause. Every moment there is a reason to be bothered. Will there be ever a single day in our life that there's no trigger, no cause, no reason for being disturbed? Not a single bloody day in our life. I was walking on Oxford Street in London and I saw a guy wearing a t-shirt. It said, do not disturb. And underneath large font, it said, already disturbed. I mean, aur kya disturb karega bhai? Ye leke ghum raha hai main pehle se. Aur kitna disturb karenge? Emotional well-being is the process of every now and then taking the phone off. Don't aim for taking off the phone permanently. It doesn't happen. All these promises that are given to you, detox and all that stuff doesn't work. It's all temporary and it's okay if it's temporary. Har kuch samay mein nikaliye, haath halka lagega aur usse bhi better. Kisi ka haath yahan niche le liye bas. Hai na? Agar haath ho jaye support.
Support.
Emotional support, mental support, spiritual support. What you have to go through becomes slightly easier. Gar tum saath ho. Agar koi saath mein ho na ji, safar kat jayega. Emotional well-being is not about being well forever. Emotional well-being is working on our well-being moment by moment, day by day, week by week. We are going to feel what we feel. It's all right.
Right.
We're going to feel low. It's all right. If I throw this phone down,
whoa.
Don't worry, it's mine. Chalega na? Shall I do it again?
No. It's okay. Fine. Thank you.
Everybody's concerned more about my phone than I am. Kuch hota hai phone ko? Kuch nahi na? Aap mein se ek ko lekar patku aisa? We feel I can call all kinds of swear words to this phone. Does it get hurt? I call you swear words. How do you feel? We feel, guys. It's okay to feel. We are human beings. We will feel. And when you feel, the better I can describe to a doctor how I feel, the better the doctor can diagnose the situation to give me treatment.
Right.
If I go and say, doctor, I have headache. Well, why? Anything else? No, doctor, I have headache. Do you feel nausea? Doctor, I have headache. Do you have fever? Doctor, I have headache. Do you feel body ache? No, doctor, I have headache. Arre, aur bol mere bhai, dawai kaise dunga? One lady went to a doctor and the doctor said, how's your headache, madam? She said, he's out of town. You know, when you go to a doctor, it's very important to describe your symptoms.
Right.
So when you feel angry, don't just say I'm angry.
Yeah.
Try to decode what shade of anger are you. Am I annoyed? Am I upset? Am I irritated? Am I frustrated? Am I anxious? Because if you don't know the finer nuances, you don't know what to address.
Right.
So that's the feel part. After the feel part comes the deal part.
Huh.
And what's the deal part? The deal part is only when I know what is that shade, then can I address it, right? Only when the doctor knows with the headache, there's a fever, there's nausea, and there's chills. Maybe it's dengue or malaria.
Right.
Only when I know what exact feeling I'm going through, can I then look for a possible solution to it? Emotional resilience.
Yeah.
And then when I deal with it, the next part obviously is healing. Mm. Dealing with this is now and here. Healing is a life's journey.
Right.
Because there's a lot of vestiges that are left. हमारे साथ जो जो होता है ना सब क्लियर नहीं होता है दोस्तों. अगर मैं आपसे एक फोटो ले लूँ ना यहाँ पे और फिर उसको डिलीट करूँ और मेरे फ़ोन से परमानेंटली डिलीट कर दूँ वो चला जाएगा. लेकिन जो मेरे यहाँ पे फोटोज ली जा रही है ना ज़िंदगी की, कोई ऐसा डिलीट बटन नहीं जो पूरा डिलीट कर देता है. कोई डिलीट बटन नहीं होता.
सो हाउ व्हाट वुड यू सजेस्ट फॉर अ डीपर हीलिंग?
यस, आई वुड सजेस्ट हीलिंग इज अ प्रोसेस.
राइट.
इट इज नॉट एन इवेंट, इट्स अ जर्नी.
राइट.
Dealing can be an event. It's here and there now. Like wedding is an event.
Yes.
Marriage is a journey.
Yeah.
Getting a degree is an event. Career is a journey. Similarly, dealing with a problem is an event, but healing is a journey. And trust me, it takes time. Healing takes time because it leaves those subtle vestiges inside of us. For instance, something happened, forgiveness. I may say I let go, but I can't forget. I'm carrying it with me. It's like that phone, constantly carrying it. For my lifetime, when I see that individual, it comes back to me. And sometimes it just comes back so vehemently.
It's as raw as it was when it happened.
Yeah, and I thought that I was done with it, but it comes back. So one thing I often say is this. How many of you are gym goers here? Oh, brilliant. How many of you do any sort of exercise at all? Oh, wow. A very, very fitness
Fit
conscious audience
yes.
here. That's amazing. Maine apne ek dost
That's JLF for you.
Oh, lovely. I'm enjoying JLF, by the way. Loud round for JLF, guys. I'm enjoying this. This is phenomenal. This is like, what energy?
Yes.
Make some noise, guys, for the JLF energy. Come on. Lovely, lovely, lovely. That's lovely. That's lovely. What an energy. Oh. मेरे एक दोस्त का इतना बड़ा पेट बाहर आया. मैंने उसको बोला भाई तू तेरी तोंद कम कर, वजन कम कर. वो मुझे बोला वजन कम करके क्या करना है, वजन कम करके क्या करना है, आखिर सबको एक दिन मरना है. इसलिए अभी जो भी खाना है खा लो मेरे दोस्त, क्योंकि अगले जन्म में फिर 3 किलो से ही शुरू करना है. आई सेड दिस गाय डिजर्व्स अ वैक. आई एम अ जिम गोअर टू.
ओह
या या.
इन द आश्रम
I have a gym, my own gym in the ashram. Ma'am, look at how built I am.
Okay.
Oh, goodness me.
What healing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very unorthodox monk. Unconventional monk. So when you go to a gym, fitness is about 3 things, isn't it? One is about good nutrition. Second is about good sleep. And third is about good exercise. And these 3 put together improves your metabolism.
Right.
Fitness is about metabolism, not looks. Fitness is not about the shape of the body. It's about how your metabolism is. Patthar khaya, ajam ho gaya, aur phir bhi chal raha hai. Enviable metabolism. That guys who can digest a stone and not put any, you know, any floats around their belly. Like Uttar Pradesh and, you know, North India is good. South India is also good. Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh is like big state. Central states are like big like this around, you know. So our physical metabolism is built by these 3 things.
Right.
Similarly, we have to have mental metabolism as well. Is there a gym where we can go? Who's advising people about the right nutrition for the mind? Everybody's talking about nutrition for fitness for the body. Who in the world is advising people about nutrition for the mind?
Right.
Who in the world is advising people, oh, sleep apnea, snoring, sleep devices, do this, sleep psychology, sleep techniques, ruckus all over the world. Who's talking about helping people make their mind sleep? I'm sleeping in the world and my mind cannot sleep. I cannot get any rest for my mind. I'm tossing and turning
off
in my bed. I can't switch off.
Yes.
Who's talking about how to put the mind to rest? And we go to the gyms and we take all kinds of exercise regimens for ourselves to get fit. Who is talking about exercise for the mind?
True.
So which is precisely why healing is a journey. Fitness is a journey. Joining the gym is an event.
True. Absolutely.
Continuing on consistently is a journey. So look at the nutrition for your mind, the content you read, the content you watch, the guys you hang out with, because that's what's going in as the nutrition for your mind. Look at the state of your rest, whether it's meditation, whether it's mindfulness, whether it's unwinding to music, whatever it is that works for you. Take take some time off. Don't carry this all the time. Take some time off to put it aside so it rests. It won't rejuvenate unless it rests. If your body doesn't rejuvenate unless it is, how will your mind feel rejuvenated unless it rests? And last but not the least, most certainly join a gym for the mind, guys. Because only the mind that is actively involved in exercise will stay fit and in shape. And that's precisely where exercising your mind muscles by creativity, innovation, passion, giving yourself to something creative, we'll put it all together. Meditation, creativity, innovation, content, company, all of this put together is your healing journey for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Thank you. We have a little time left. We will go in for Q&A, but very quickly, and we'll have to be a little short with this. You've been talking so much about this, so, and you also in your podcast talk about social media, right, the addiction of that. I don't want to go into the addiction aspect. I just want to talk about the importance, I mean, because I work a lot with young people, the importance of consent, right? We have so many of these apps, swipe right, swipe left, swipe whatever. But I still feel we live in a very patriarchal society where the male dominates, the female thinks she has to, you dominate, I comply, I don't know. I just want you, because they will take your words and take it to the heart.
Sure.
The importance of consent with whoever you're trying to connect with for however long, but respecting that human being as divine as you are. You know, when we say namaste, it's I bow to the divine in you. So just a little bit on consent.
100%. I can't agree anymore. I can't agree more to what you're saying. I think we live in a world where we are dealing with human beings. And I feel when we bring in the concept of dealing with human beings, other boundaries have to melt away. And a lot of times boundaries come into picture. And when boundaries come into picture, there is dominance, there is control, there is dominion. Because one sees oneself as superior over the other. What that boundary is could be so many varieties of boundaries. Right?
Everyone has a different
ideology of what that boundary is. But taking that boundary as the identity, that one dominates over the other. Can we just bloody stop doing that? And can we start respecting people not by boundaries, but by them being as human beings? And that's why I say that insan na ji, insan na ghar ghar mein paida hota hai, insaniyat kahin kahin paida hoti hai bas. Right. And we have to go not by human, but by humanity.
Humanity, yes.
And which is why, start respecting. Start respecting people's space. Start respecting people's priorities. Treat others with dignity. They deserve Absolutely. That dignity. They deserve that respect. And I often say, what Susie says of Sally, says more of Susie than Sally.
Absolutely right. Right. Absolutely.
And therefore, what people are doing to others are not talking of others as low or big, but talking about their own restricted, constricted, narrow mindsets.
Right.
And I think it's high time that we rise above these things and have an open world where we live as a humanity, where boundaries melt away and we are willing to respect each other's rights, each other's dignity, and give that space to each other too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This podcast is produced by Launchora in association with Teamwork Arts. Please follow or subscribe to this show wherever you're listening to this to be notified about new episodes.